SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Rich Sermonella.
Yeah. Scott Wetzel and Rich Sermonella were here to end out last week, but to start a new week on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi back in the saddle. The mastermind of the pigskin is the man we know as Lisi. Joe Lisi here on this Monday. In our area of expertise, Mr. Lisi, is college football, and we'll dive into those numbers that you need to know ahead of the 2022 college football campaign throughout today's program. Joe, how's your weekend been going?
It's been going great, Ben. I can't wait for August 27th and the start of the college football season. I mean, I cannot wait because there's so many unanswered questions that we're going to see play out. Is Texas back in terms of the Big 12? What can Brett Venables do with Oklahoma? Can Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame potentially, just potentially, upset Ryan Day and CJ Stroud on September 3rd? That's what we're breaking down. And then on top of it, your guy, Scott Frost, will he still be on the sidelines in Lincoln in 2023 is the major question, Ben.
If they lose that opener to Northwestern, Joe, in Dublin on August 27th, it's going to go a very, very long way to maybe the end of the Scott Frost tenure. But, as I mentioned, currently booked as an 11.5-point favorite. And, Lisi, the fascinating thing right now is it might sound weird or standalone that we discuss just one college football game week zero in Dublin and what those lines might be doing and why they might be moving. Are Nebraska or Northwestern going to contend even for a Big Ten West divisional title? Well, folks in Lincoln feel a little bit more optimistic about that idea. Are they going to contend for a Big Ten championship, maybe even a spot in a New Year's Six Bowl? Who knows? But we can learn from what the lines are doing right now and what it all means where we are. Listen, it's June 20th. The NBA Finals just came to an end. The Stanley Cup Finals in game number 3. Throughout these summer months, there's going to be so much happening in the sports landscape. The NBA offseason rolls on. The WNBA regular season is out in full swing. Of course, the focus is on the diamond in Major League Baseball. Us college guys can have some fun looking at the Men's College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, currently playing out. But Joe, as the calendar starts to flip a little bit, it's starting to feel like, to me, we're getting very close to football season. And before we know it, the August 27th look ahead to the early line for Nebraska Northwestern, and oh wow, it's interesting the line has worked in the Huskers' favor by 2 points, isn't just going to be that overarching discussion. It's going to be breaking down that football game and why Nebraska has an opportunity to cover as an 11.5-point favorite, or maybe why the Wildcats can keep it close and maybe even pull off the upset in Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell fans and gamblers around the country to shop around because there is a huge discrepancy even in this week one matchup. I tweeted out, you mentioned that the line moved 2.5 points in favor of the Nebraska Cornhuskers in many books maybe 2-3 months ago when they put and established these lines. It was basically 8, 8.5. They immediately bet it up to 10, and then we saw 11.5 on FanDuel. But WinBet here in New Jersey has a 13 number pegged on Nebraska. So just think about that. 1.5 difference, Ben, already in the state of New Jersey. You want to take Northwestern plus the 13, close to 2 touchdowns. I tell fans shop around because, you know, you will see this discrepancy in the markets, not just in the state of New Jersey and Nevada, but throughout the country where there's multiple books and multiple prices. So it is important to shop around. And this will really, I say, dictate the Big Ten. Because if, let's say, Nebraska comes out and blows the doors off of Northwestern, maybe they could be a potential player in the West. Maybe they could challenge teams like Michigan and Ohio State or even Penn State, whoever steps up in terms of that side. So it really is important to gauge where the Cornhuskers are with their new starting quarterback, Casey Thompson.
And it's time for Nebraska, Joe, as you long know, And as I have said oftentimes, I started my professional career working and living in Omaha. I know what it means to cover the Nebraska football program. I know what Saturdays in the fall mean to the folks in the Cornhusker State, from as far east as Omaha to as far west as the Colorado border. I know what those days mean. And there's been a lot of excitement about Scott Frost in years past. There's been a lot of optimism about the prodigal son returned home to bring his football program back. He was, of course, the quarterback the last time Nebraska won a national championship in 1997. But that optimism has faded, and it has given way to this idea of Scott, hey, listen, pal, you can tell us how competitive practice was. You can tell us we're moving in the right direction, but it's time to start actually winning football games. And it's very interesting right now, Joe, when you look at those lines, right? When we look at the early lines and what they tell us about the direction of a football program, you might be surprised to see Nebraska, a team that was 3-9 a season ago, who had the same record as Northwestern, who was also 3-9, but the Wildcats, Big Ten West title winners in 2018 and 2020, you might be surprised to see that 3-9 team out of Lincoln be a 11.5-point favorite, or as Joe said, a 13-point favorite in some spots. What does that tell us? The optimism, the off-season Kool-Aid is starting to get drinking. Or starting to get drink. I don't even know what the right word is, Joe, in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's how we're starting to churn where things are right now in late June. And as we will say throughout these summer months, we are going to correlate markets. So we'll look at the win totals for some of those teams in the Big Ten and see what it means next year on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on Football Full Circle to start off your new week on a Monday, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That would be Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, we're looking at some early lines for the 2022 college football season. Listen, it's June 20th. We're about 2 months away from the start of a college football season in week zero, August 27th. Joe, we just focused on one of the premier games of that opening weekend in Dublin, a Big Ten opener between Nebraska and Northwestern. Yes, the site is Avila Stadium in Dublin, Ireland. And Nebraska is an 11.5-point favorite. And Joe, we were just saying that's an interesting number, right? When you look at a Nebraska team that was 3-9 a season ago, in the 4 years of Scott Frost, they have never won more than five games. They haven't even been an even 500. So why does that team deserve to be an 11.5-point favorite? Might it be a sign of the optimism and where the betting markets are trending as we look at these two teams? So Joe, we'll relate that to the team win totals. The Huskers, 7.5. And the over has the heavy juice at minus 140. Northwestern is 4.5, and the under has the juice to that number at minus 130. So two teams, Joe, not only in that week zero matchup, but based on the win totals, seem to be trending in opposite directions.
Yeah, and the schedule seems fairly light for Nebraska. I think it's a couple of reasons why you see the win total where it is. It's do or die for Scott Frost. That we understand. Yep. Trev Alberts gave him the vote of confidence just for this year, right? I mean, he barely could have let him go last year, but he held him around. He's given him an opportunity to build his recruiting classes and, more importantly, develop a quarterback, Casey Thompson. And we talked about it multiple times, Ben, that Casey Thompson potentially right here, right now, is the best Nebraska quarterback over maybe the last 10 to 12 years. You could maybe even go a little bit further down the line, right? Nebraska hasn't developed that elite power passing, you know, offense under Scott Frost. And more importantly, they didn't have it with Mike Riley either, right? So at the end of the day, Casey Thompson, coupled with Mark Whipple, the potential to have an explosive offense to balance out the rushing attack is maybe where you're seeing that number right now. And then on top of it, outside of Northwestern, they play North Dakota, Georgia Southern, Indiana, at Rutgers, at Purdue, Illinois that they lost to last year. No Ohio State, just at right. Michigan, Wisconsin, and at Iowa. So there are winnable games on the schedule. 9-3 isn't out of the realm of possibility, Ben.
9-3, Joe Lisi. I think they're an 8-4 football team. I really do. And I think I, at sometimes, drink the Kool-Aid that goes on in the offseason in Lincoln as well. But there is so much talent on this roster. There is so much talent. And you might be saying, talent to win you three games, Stevens, shut your trap. Well, Scott Frost has done an incredible job of not only reinvigorating his roster, but also his coaching staff. And when you bring in Mark Whipple as your offensive coordinator, the man that transformed Kenny Pickett into a Heisman finalist, there should be optimism. When you bring in Mickey Joseph as your wide receiver coach, who can get you guys like Dakoldis Crawford from LSU, Trey Palmer, another highly sought-after transfer as well. It leads into that point, Joe, that in today's iteration of college football, recruiting in the transfer portal is almost as important as recruiting recruits out of high school. So it's very important how he has revamped this roster. This is the year for Scott Frost because, as Joe mentioned, if it's not this year, it might never be. The reason that he was not fired at the end of 2021 and was allowed to restructure his deal under new athletic director Trev Alberts to come back for 2022, Joe, in his fifth year in Lincoln, the reason they restructured that contract is a lot like what we saw with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan prior to the 2021 season, that you bring down that base salary on an annual level, which means the buyout is a lot less, and it incentivizes, from a fiscal perspective, Scott Frost to go out and perform, because if he can win you a divisional title like Michigan won last year in the East, if he can win you a conference championship, we're not necessarily saying Nebraska is going to win a Big Ten title, but if he can get you those benchmarks of success that are now needed in his fifth year, his salary will go back up. He'll have bonuses in place that recoup some of that salary loss, but it also makes it easier on the administration should they need to part ways with Scott Frost. The financial burden of doing so, Joe, is a lot less. That's the position Nebraska is in this year. So the 7.5 might seem like a lofty win total for, again, a team that won three games last year, three games in 2020, only five in 2019, and that was the most in the Scott Frost era, and then four in his first year in Lincoln in 2018. The 7.5 with the over having the juice, Joe, seems like a lofty benchmark, but it needs to be that benchmark if Scott Frost and the Nebraska football program are going to be with each other heading into a sixth year in 2023.
Absolutely, and look at the games that they played last year against, let's say, top 25 competition. They went toe-to-toe with Oklahoma on the road, almost won that ball game as a double-digit underdog. What were they catching, like 19 in that ball game? They lost that by 7. They went toe-to-toe with Jim Harbaugh on a Saturday night, the same night that LSU got knocked off by Kentucky, but Michigan almost lost on the road in Lincoln. What was it, 32-29? So you're talking about the best team in the Big Ten last year in the Michigan Wolverines against that defense. So the optimism is there. And on top of it, he also brought in, I believe, Dominic Raiola, which was a dominant offensive lineman as well. So he's bringing back the tradition that was severely lacking under Bo Pelini and even Mike Riley during their tenure there. The question is going to be this, Ben. Yep. Are there going to be growing pains with Casey Thompson understanding Mark Whipple's scheme, right? We saw it with Kenny Pickett. First year in the scheme, he only threw 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. That's unacceptable if you think about it from a perspective of, you know, if Casey Thompson throws 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in Lincoln this year, guess what? Nebraska's under 500. Scott Frost is gone, and maybe Whipple is gone as well. So that is going to be the question. Is there growing pains? If not, then you buy in, and then maybe, like I said, maybe they're a dark horse to win 10, 11 games. You just never know because he definitely coached up the defensive side of the ball. I'll just say this. When he took over, they were giving up 195 yards on the ground. That was one of the worst statistical defenses in Nebraska history. He's gotten it down in 4 years down to a buck 45. If they could take the next step in terms of run support, they're going to be there.
Joe, Nebraska has better odds right now to win 10 games. You love that market on FanDuel than does Iowa, and then does Michigan State, even Minnesota in there. Nebraska is 6-1 to win 10 or more games. Iowa, Michigan State, and Minnesota, also all out of the Big Ten, of course, are at 7-1. And Joe, it's fascinating when you look at Nebraska, right? And the reason there is optimism based in this industry, Joe, of sports gambling that we are in, is because of how good Nebraska was against the spread last year, especially as an underdog. 4-1 ATS when booked as a dog. The only one they did not cover, Joe, was that game in Lincoln in Saturday primetime against Michigan. They lost by 3 and the line closed at 2.5 in favor of the Wolverines. So a hook is the only reason they weren't perfect as an underdog. As a favorite, they left a lot to be desired, not covering as a favorite in Big Ten games and losing outright against Minnesota, Purdue, the opener against Illinois, and even on Black Friday in their finale against Iowa. And that has been a thing for Scott Frost, not completing well against the Big Ten. He has not been good against the Big Ten West, and he has failed to this point, Joe, to beat either Wisconsin or Iowa, two of the biggest staples of the Big Ten West division and where Nebraska fans would like to see themselves. But Nebraska lost 9 games last year, Joe, all by single digits. That's your optimism, that maybe those close games can turn into wins. That's the hope this year in Lincoln.
It is. And if he can get there, I think it'll be a marker for other organizations and schools to maybe potentially give coaches 3, 4, and 5 years now back the way it used to be to develop.
It might be a huge moment, and we might see it in sequential years within the Big Ten. Like Joe mentioned, to not give that quick axe, but restructure big deals to incentivize coaches and make your financial burden on the other side, shall it not work out, something that is a lot less. We'll return here on Football Full Circle up next on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is June 20th. It's a Monday here in the summer months. Summer officially starts in just a few days later this week. And on Football Full Circle, to start off your new week on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159, we're looking and taking that early view of some of the odds available for the start of the 2022 college football season. It's early, and we're already seeing movement. We're having uniforms debuted for opening game matchups, including an old rivalry renewed, Joe Lisi, between West Virginia and Pittsburgh. He's the mastermind of the pigskin, especially in CFB. I am Ben Stevens. And Lisi, we were just discussing this with Nebraska Northwestern, the line on the move in favor of the Cornhuskers, and especially when you compare the marketplaces. That is the same for West Virginia and Pitt, where just a few weeks ago, Joe, on this very program, that line was 4, 4.5. Now it's at 6.5 in favor of Pitt, the reigning ACC champs, hosting West Virginia in that rivalry matchup to begin this season, that first Thursday night of the college football season on September 1st. That line is a moving, Joe. What does it mean to you?
Well, yeah, it's fluctuating. A lot of question marks that have to be answered, right? One is Keaton Slovis the guy, and can he take over for where Kenny Pickett was for that offense? No Mark Whipple. How does that affect, obviously, the play calling for the Pitt Panthers? And on the flip side, I wrote an article, and it will be coming out in one of the previews in terms of coaches on the hot seat. I believe Neil Brown is on the hot seat. You know, after year number one, took over. All right, you give him a pass. He got to a bowl game last year, but he's not making dividends inside the Big 12, Ben. I mean, they haven't gotten above fifth in the conference when you just think about that. And some of the teams that on the bottom half of the Big 12, like Baylor last year, and with a second-year head coach in Dave Aranda, wins the Big 12 championship, right? So West Virginia needs to get it done. And I think part of the reason why West Virginia just has struggled for recent years, they did so with Holgorsen as well, the travel logistics, right? I mean, going from West Virginia to Texas, going to Oklahoma, all It's just a fish out of water for the most part. These aren't professional players. They're student athletes. So that takes a toll as the season progresses. And the bigger toll is this going to be the team that JT Daniels sticks with? More importantly, because, I mean, come on now. How many times is JT Daniels going to transfer and basically not even play?
Well, that's the question for me, Joe. I think what's held them back in the last couple of years under Neil Brown has been the quarterback play of a certain Jarrett Daigie. And now you would expect, at least you would expect, Joe Lisi, JT Daniels to come in there and steer the ship in a positive way. No Letty Brown, he has been a sensational member of that offense the last couple of seasons, really the focal point of WVU's offense. So now we might see a more aired-out attack under the right arm of JT Daniels. And again, Joe, as we correlate these markets here, a rather big spread for an opening game of the year, nearing a touchdown now and working in favor of the Panthers. And you have to look at what is expected of them entering this year to make sense of why that number is moving the way it is and where it stands currently on whatever sports book you're looking at. And there's a couple of differences in those prices. But, Joe, we're looking at FanDuel right now. And again, Pittsburgh, a 6.5-point favorite. Their team win total, 7.5. The over has the heavy juice at -170. Compare that to West Virginia, whose team win total is 5.5. The over, the juice at -135, an expectation maybe to get back to 6 wins in another bowl game. But we think of this Pitt team probably a little bit more highly regarded, Joe, than the Mountaineers.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the one thing that Pat Narduzzi has done is eerily similar to what Dabo Swinney and Brett Venables have done, and now Brett is on the sidelines in Norman in terms of reloading on the defensive side of the ball. Just think about what they had 2 years ago with Patrick Jones and Jalen Twyman, two of the top defensive players in the conference. Patrick Jones led all sack leaders last year, 2 years ago, with 9, right? He moves on to the NFL, and all of a sudden they reload and have a dominant defense yet again in terms of the front seven, holding teams under 120 rushing yards per game, over 48 sacks per year. I mean, they are a dominant front seven. So when you break this game down and you say, okay, how's it going to play out? It doesn't matter whether JT Daniels is the guy or not. Can he produce or duplicate what Daigie did, if not a little bit more, right? So let's say you get 90% of the passing production, okay? Now, can the running game take over? If the passing game isn't there, then that goes right into the front seven of Pittsburgh, and they should be able to dominate with or without Keaton Slovis because they have the better defense heading into this ball game. So that's the question when you look at it from an X's and O's standpoint. That's why Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite in some books, because of the front seven. Quarterbacks are equal, right? Because we don't know how they're going to play in their new settings. Quarterbacks are equal, and all of a sudden now you got to go to defense and running game, and that's where you have to give the edge, I still think, to Pittsburgh in this matchup.
It's going to be a great quarterback matchup, right? It's just going to be so fun to see these two new quarterbacks in two new places. And what does that mean for Keaton Slovis? Joe, could you make the argument, and follow me here if you will, that it's more impactful losing Mark Whipple than it is a Heisman finalist in Kenny Pickett? Do you think that might stand the test of time this year for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think that's a big question, because up until this point, Pat Narduzzi didn't evolve on the offensive side of the ball, right? It wasn't until Mark Whipple came on board that that offense took flight last year, and it was just 1 year. It wasn't in 2020, right, the COVID season. Kenny Pickett had a mediocre year. They were a one-dimensional offense. They threw the running game out the window and aired it out, right? So now with Pat Narduzzi, Narduzzi not having that safety net, he has to go back to now figure out, how do I coach up Keaton Slovis from the offensive side of the ball? And Keaton Slovis didn't come to Pitt. I don't know if he made a mistake or not. Did he really realize that Mark Whipple wasn't there? He's on the sidelines with Casey Thompson. Because tell me why Keaton Slovis goes from USC, where he's, you know, and challenged Jackson Dart, and a good quarterback, went to warm weather. He's going to go to the cold, the wind, the rain. And, oh, by the way, the offensive coordinator's not even there that coached up a potential Heisman Trophy candidate last year. Explain that to me.
I don't think you can, except for maybe Keaton Slovis seeing the writing on the wall, knowing Lincoln Riley was coming to Southern California and bring Caleb Williams with him, and bada bing, bada boom, you got to find a new home. Although I think Keaton Slovis transferred before that. Anyway, new offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh is Frank Cignetti Jr., Joe, joining Pat Narduzzi's staff, a Pittsburgh native who spent the past two seasons at Boston College. And you might be thinking to yourself, okay, BC, they don't really do much offensively. Phil Dracovic, the quarterback in Chestnut Hill, is sensational and might be a team to keep an eye on this year in the ACC. Speaking of the ACC, Lisi, of course, this is all the concept behind Pitt, a team that won 11 football games last year, a conference championship that now only has a team win total of 7.5. Yes, the over juiced at minus 170, but Pitt's not even favored, Joe, to win the Coastal. Once again, that would be the Miami Hurricanes at plus 150. Pitt double that price at plus 300. The landscape of the ACC was so weird last year because for the first time in 6 years, Clemson did not win the conference championship. And for the first time in 5 years, because the year prior in 2020, we didn't have divisions. We split it up just based on the top two win percentages. When we made it 15 teams and Notre Dame was playing football in the ACC as a conference member for a season, Clemson did not win the Atlantic. Now, Joe, Clemson is favored to win the Atlantic once again at minus 220. NC State, the second best odds at plus 500. Wake, who won the division last year, is plus 750 with the third best price. And there's BC, like I told you, under Jeff Hafley, who's a very talented head coach, at 18-1. Joe, what do you think the landscape of the ACC looks like for 2022?
I think the quarterback play is phenomenal in the division, in the league. I really do. Look, you mentioned those quarterbacks, right? Dracovic, potential NFL draft pick, right? How about Brennan Armstrong from Virginia? Devin Leary? I mean, you know, outside of Clemson with DJU, and we'll see who wins that job, there is good, solid quarterback play. Sam Hartman comes back from Wake, right? So, so there is the potential to have a lot of these games be competitive. Now, the Coastal is always up for grabs. Now, Miami's the front runner, like you mentioned, with Tyler Van Dyke, another Heisman Trophy candidate. But you basically flip a coin in the Coastal, right? I mean, look at last year. Everybody thought it would be North Carolina and Sam Howell, and they limped to basically a 7-6 overall record, right? At the end of the day, it was Wake Forest and Pittsburgh that played for the ACC championship, which is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great point. It was going to be a two-team race between Miami. Could they finally get back with De'Ara King? And he didn't play a whole lot last year, dealing with injuries, of course. And then it was Tyler Van Dyke's show. And now there's optimism once again in Coral Gables as you bring in Mario Cristobal as your new head coach. Pitt was a team that was in the middle of the pack in their own division, Joe, outside of what they might do in the ACC. They were 40-1. To win the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship before the year got underway. And we're talking about some teams here that threw the football and scored the football a ton last year. Pittsburgh, the sixth best scoring offense in the country. Wake, the third best scoring offense in the country. Pitt, top 10 in passing yards per game, 328 per game last year. Miami, 11th. Wake Forest, 12th in that same statistical category as well. And Joe, a team we got to dive into that I'm really excited by entering this year, NC State. You want to talk about quarterback play? Devin Leary might be the best signal caller in this conference, and I mean in the entirety of the conference. Right now, Joe, the Wolfpack plus 500 to win the Atlantic Division for 2022. We'll dive into those numbers coming up next year on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. An ACC preview on a Monday in June. Stay right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We
We are back here on Football Full Circle, rolling on this Monday, Sirius XM Channel 159, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We continue our tour through the ACC. Joe Lisi, I think we have to focus now on the NC State Wolfpack, a team that very well could be ranked in the top 15 when we get the preseason AP poll. And that might surprise some people, but that is what we have this upcoming year in Raleigh. NC State should be a contender, not only for the Atlantic Division, that Clemson is still a heavy odds-on favorite at minus 220 to win, but if they can win that division, Joe, they will be the favorites to win an ACC title without a doubt. So that's where we stand right now with NC State, who has a team win total, Lisi, of 8.5. And the over has a ton of juice at minus 165.
Yeah, this Miami team is very intriguing to me because, obviously, what do you get out of Mario Cristobal? And the fact that Cristobal comes home, I understand people are excited, but can we look at the body of work that he did in Oregon in terms of big games, right? Yes, yeah. He got the victory against Ohio State, but that was in the early part of the season. Go back a couple of years ago when they had the potential to knock off Jaden Daniels in Arizona State in the desert. They lost that ball game. Okay, they had a potential with Justin Herbert to crack the college football playoff as a 2-touchdown favorite and lost by outright. They lost that game outright. They were never in it. Fast forward to last year, two games against Utah, totally blown out, totally abused on the in the interior. What are we going to get in big games for Miami? Because the mental fortitude for the Miami Hurricanes over the past 6, 7, 8 years under Richt and Manny Diaz and all the coaches going back before Coker or after Coker, what do you get from this team? The mental fortitude is lacking. I don't know if Mario can bring it back. Tyler Van Dyke is great. Jalen Knighton is fantastic. But at the end of the day, I'm not willing to think that this is a 9 or 10 win football team.
They haven't gone over, Miami, that is, has not gone over 8.5 in 4 straight seasons. The last time they did, 2017, when they won 10 games. They won 9 games under Mark Richt in 2015 as well, and then under in 2 straight years prior to that. So if we go back to 2014 here, Joe, and we look at the last 8 years, Miami has been under this team win total where it stands at 8.5 in 6 of those 8 years, and the under right now is even money at plus 100. It will be very interesting to see what Miami does this year. And the wonderful thing right now, Joe, that we have at our disposal, I should say, is we can look at team win totals, and there are some lines up for games for teams. Some teams have 6 games already booked on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's a very early line, of course, especially as you get later into the conference slate, and a lot of things can change from where we are right now before a single snap has been played to where things might be in late November in the hunt for a conference championship. But Miami has 3 games right now available on FanDuel. On the road at Clemson in later November, hosting Florida State in early November, and on the road in College Station in a non-conference game, their 3rd weekend of the year. And in 2 of those 3 games, Joe, Miami is more than a touchdown underdog, an 8-point underdog on the road in Texas A&M, and a 7.5-point underdog, rather, on the road in Clemson, South Carolina. They are laying a rather big number, near double digits against Florida State. But again, Joe, there's an indication, 2 of your 3 biggest games, you're an underdog. So yes, if you take care of business against teams on your schedule like Bethune-Cookman and Southern Miss and Middle Tennessee and against maybe some of the weaker foes in the ACC like Duke and Georgia Tech and Virginia and Virginia Tech, but all of those games are on the road, then yes, you can find your way to 8 wins even if you do lose to some of your bigger opponents. But it's still a big question mark when you only have 3 lines available and in 2 of the 3 you're greater than a touchdown dog.
Yeah, and that Florida State game that they're favored in is no guarantee. They lost to Florida State last year, right? So remember that. I mean, Florida State was atrocious, and they somehow, some way, picked that ball game out as a 2.5-point dog. So you're absolutely right, Ben. I mean, it falls on Tyler Van Dyke. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the conference, one of the better quarterbacks in college football. I'm not putting him up there with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud as a Heisman Trophy contender. I just don't see that in his game just yet. We'll see if he evolves throughout the season. But it's not the skill players. Miami has always had skill players. The problem with Miami is the interior lines, the offense and defensive line physicality. And yes, Mario Cristobal is a great recruiter, and he did that at Oregon. He coached that up. He got Thibodeau, right? But it took him time. He's not all of a sudden going to take this group that really played down to expectations last year, couldn't tackle, allowed Kenneth Walker to run all over them in a big spot last year. I mean, are we going to expect all of a sudden they're going to do a complete 360? Because come back home, Mario. Mario's home. You know, Cristobal. No, absolutely not. So there's going to be a process. So 8-4 is realistic. If they get to 9-3, great. But they're not beating. Do you believe they're beating A&M and Kyle Field in college? That would be one of the bigger upsets in college football this year, depending upon where Jimbo is, Max Johnson, Haynes King, and that team last year. There's no way, I believe, Miami's going to knock off A&M in Kyle Field this year.
Nor does the book right now. Miami's an 8-point underdog. And it's interesting to see that number so large, actually, Joe. I understand it's in College Station against an SEC team in A&M that has had some of the best recruiting classes in the country the last couple of seasons. And, of course, the top-rated recruiting class in the history of the sport this past year. But we haven't necessarily seen that translate to a ton of wins for Jimbo in A&M. 8 is the number they're laying right now against Miami. It's a rather big number. Speaking of Mario Cristobal, a former offensive lineman for the U in their heyday, to bring them back to that glorified area is what he is charged with doing in Coral Gables. And Joe, frankly, if I'm Kyle Whittingham, who's playing Florida this year with Utah, and by the way, the Utes now a 2-point favorite, even on the road in the swamp in that first weekend of the college, first full Saturday, I should say, of the college football campaign. If I'm Kyle Whittingham, I'm not calling that school in the Sunshine State. I'm calling Miami and Cristobal to try to play them again because I want to out-physical them as he did when Mario Cristobal was with Oregon this past year. If I'm Mario Cristobal, I'm never picking up the phone if Kyle Whittingham gives me a call for a non-conference game now, because you were shellacked, embarrassed, and out-physicaled each and every step of the way. All right, Joe, let's talk NC State, huh? Also a team with an 8.5 win total, minus 165 the juice to the over. NC State, who beat Clemson last year in their pursuit of an Atlantic Division title that they did not get, and it went the way of Wake Forest. But there is optimism now, Joe, when you have a team win total of 8.5 and the juice is at minus 165, that shows you that at least the odds indicate the Wolfpack and Dave Doran are going to be a 9-win football team. 9-3, that's a pretty good mark, especially in the ACC. If you can get to 10 wins, you're going to be competing with Clemson for the Atlantic. And if you're competing for the Atlantic, you're going to be competing for that ACC championship as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything hit stride for Dave Doran and NC State last year, right? They had a senior-laden team. They had a physical running game with Ricky Person and Pam Knight and Nkwanu, the tackle that just moved on to the NFL, and a quarterback that was experienced in Devin Leary, right? Remember, they had Bailey Hockman. He transferred to Middle Tennessee State. Devin Leary took over, you know, from the injury last year, and he stepped up, and he's one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC. I think he's better than Ryan Finley coming out of his days in Raleigh. I know Finley was a potential backup for much of his career now in Cincinnati. I think Leary could be a starter in the NFL. I think this team is good. I don't know if they're as good as they were last year. I think 9-3, they're right there. Again, are they going to beat Clemson again 2 years in a row? This time, they got to go to Death Valley. It's NC State. Yeah. We're not talking about, you know, the Blue Bloods and some of the other teams. There's going to be slight regression, even though Doran's done a fantastic job. I mean, Devin Leary broke every school record in terms of passing that was held by Phillip Rivers. So think about how good he is in terms of Raleigh. I just don't know if the offensive line and defensive front are going to be as physical, even though they have starters coming back, 9-10 guys on the defensive side of the ball. The two losses to me come in the middle, and that's where I have concerns.
NC State right now, Joe, to echo your point, has the sixth most production returning on the defensive side of the football. 88% of their snaps last year are back in Raleigh for Dave Doran. They still have a lot offensively as well, 75% of that. And when your quarterback is coming back for another year, that's always a very, very good sign. NC State, in fact, has the most returning talent in the ACC. Actually, no, Florida State's one ahead of them. But anyway, NC State, the 12th most returning production in all of college football. Florida State ahead of them, 82% of their team is back to production from last year. Louisville and Syracuse up there as well, 80% of the returning production for the Cards and the Orange are back in 2022. Joe, it's going to be very, very interesting to see where this NC State team goes, because I don't think it's just us talking about the Wolfpack, right? I think there will be a lot of notoriety about this NC State team. Can they truly compete with Clemson year in and year out? To echo your point, can they beat the Tigers 2 years in a row? Last year, they were a 10.5-point underdog at home in Raleigh. They win that game outright in overtime, a sensational football game. This year, on the road in Clemson, South Carolina, the number is similar as of right now, Joe, on the FanDuel Sportsbook for that first Saturday in October. The Wolfpack, a 10-point dog against Clemson. This is Clemson's conference. They had one bad year, Joe. One bad year for Clemson where they still won 10 football games, winning six straight to end out the year and covering in five of those six games. Clemson has won the ACC outside of last year the six consecutive years prior. There is a reason, even now, Joe Lisi, that Clemson is minus 220 to win the Atlantic, and the reason that they are to win the ACC outright, also an odds-on favorite at minus 140. There's going to be a lot of hype for NC State to do what they did last year, but it's still Clemson's conference, throw away last year, and this Clemson team is certainly the cream of the crop in the ACC.
Yeah, when you look at Clemson and NC State, Clemson has a lethal defense. Concern is the quarterback, right? NC State, good defense. Are they as solid in the front seven as Clemson? I would say no, but they are rock solid in terms of run support. Yep. They only allowed .124 per game last year, Ben, and they can tackle. That's the one thing. They are physical. It's going to come down to, do you believe Devin Leary on the road can challenge Clemson over the top catching 10.5? You know what? 10.5, we have no idea what Clemson's going to do from the offensive side of the ball. Are they going to
No.
And what happens with Brett Venables, right? He moves on. So I would be inclined to take Devin Leary and the 10.5, even though they might lose. Maybe it's a field goal type of game right now.
And Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator in Clemson for most of the past couple of years, is also now gone, the head coach at Virginia. So it will be very interesting, Joe, to see what this team does. With DJ Uiagalelei there as their quarterback as of right now, Cade Klubnik, a very highly recruited freshman, could see some production and some playing time early on. Will Shipley in the backfield, the outstanding sophomore, is back, and that is certainly a highlight for Dabo Sweeney's offense. But this is still Clemson. Joe, we saw so much last year about how dominant Georgia's defense was, and rightfully so. I think this Clemson defense has an opportunity to be in those lines, to be a team that can win you football games just on the defensive side of the football. We'll wrap up the show here on FFC up next on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final segment here on Football Full Circle on this Monday show, where the focus has been all CFB on FFC with Joe Lisi. Oh, kind of rhyming there, Joe. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. And the focus, Joe, has been college football. We've looked at the Big Ten. We've looked at the ACC. We're getting ready for a college football campaign. Even on the 20th of June, we are that ready to go here, Lee.